All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 42 to 50, or we're going to finish up this chapter. Father, thank you again that you have brought us here to hear your Word. And Lord, we pray that your Word will go forth to the hearts of your people. And we pray, God, that you would speak into our hearts, give us wisdom and direction for our lives today in Jesus' name. Amen. John 12, verses 42 to 50, the title of this message is Cowardly Christian. Cowardly Christian. Now, being a former Marine, one of the worst things you can call us is a coward. We were trained to look fear in the face and conquer the enemy. We were taught to put our fears aside and do our jobs no matter what the cost. However, to be called a cowardly Christian tops them all, in my opinion. Because if I can have courage as a Marine, why can't I have courage as a Christian? When Jesus had the courage to leave heaven, to come to this earth, to die for our sin, it's amazing that we can have courage as a Christian. And in these verses, we will see what will cause a lot of people to be afraid to confess to anyone that they believe in Jesus Christ. And it is the same reason people use today. Look what it says there in verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. Stop right there. This verse starts with the adverb nevertheless. It is a word that means in spite of that. So the question is, in spite of what? Well, this takes us back to verses 37 to 41. In these verses, the author John describes how the prophet Isaiah prophesied that the Jewish nation would reject Jesus as the Messiah. So nevertheless, or in spite of that, even among the rulers, many believed in him. Yes, there were people who rejected Jesus Christ, but there were still some people who believed in him. And even some of the rulers were among those who believed. This meant that some of the religious leaders who were a part of the Sanhedrin or the Jewish Supreme Court believed in Jesus. But the question is, did they come out and confess him? Did they come out and say that they were believers in Jesus Christ? No. Why is that? Look at the second part of verse 42. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They did not confess that they believe in Jesus as their Messiah because the Pharisees, who were the conservative religious leaders, had already decreed that if anyone confessed him, they will be put out of the synagogue. Now, for us here in America, with our Western mindset, this doesn't mean a thing to us, because if someone puts us out of a church, we would just go down the street to the next church, and we would turn around and talk badly about the previous church on social media to the world. And so that means nothing to us to be put out of the synagogue or to be put out of the church. But to a Jewish person, to be put out of the synagogue meant three things. Number one, you lost the favor and blessings of God. You lost the favor and blessings of God. Number two, you lost your way of making a living, because no one would go to the business of someone who was excommunicated. And number three, your family considered you dead. And so it was a serious thing to be excommunicated or to be put out of the synagogue. You no longer had a family. You could no longer make a living or have a life. This meant that life that you once knew was now gone. And now for us here in America, you would just say, oh, that's not right. That's not fair. However, what was really going on here, we see in verse 43. For they love the praises of men more than the praise of God. Well, this is why they believed in Jesus, but didn't confess him, because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. This shows that their belief in Jesus was superficial and not genuine. John, the author of this book, already told us in chapter 5, verse 44, that Jesus indicted them with these words, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? See, the religious leaders, they love their exalted place in society. And when people saw them out, they was, Rabbi. Yes, here I am, my child. You know, and they love their prestigious positions in the synagogue and in the Sanhedrin. And to confess that they believe in Jesus as their Messiah would mean that they would lose their lofty standing in society. And so they refuse to confess him. The word confess in the Greek language is homologeo, and it's a word that comes from two words, homo, which means the same, and logeo means to speak. So this word means to speak the same thing. And these religious leaders refuse to confess Jesus as their Messiah because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, before we come down too hard on the religious leaders, you need to ask yourself whether you're part of their company. You say, what do you mean? Well, we're living in a time that a lot of people say that they believe in Jesus but refuse to confess him to people. And the question is, why? For the same reason these religious leaders, you love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Remember, the Greek word for confess means to speak the same thing. And many people who say that they believe in Jesus Christ are afraid to speak the same thing the Bible says about him. Why? For fear of being put out of the synagogue. Oh, the synagogue for you is your job. You're afraid to speak up on your job for fear of being fired, or fear of being ostracized from your family, or being cut off from society. Well, I say this because it is the same way in our world today. If you confess that you believe in Jesus Christ and the Bible, you will be considered dead to some people. You may be fired or lose your ability to make a living, and you will feel like you lost the favor of God. And why would you do this? Just like verse 43 says, for you love the praise of men more than the praise of God. For some of you, you confess Jesus Christ, and that live-in partner of yours will all of a sudden say, he's out of here, he's leaving, because of your confession of having Jesus as your Lord, and he's helping pay the bills. So this is big, this is huge for you to confess Jesus Christ today, because there are severe consequences today. So let us be careful about coming down too hard on these religious leaders, because we can be just like them. Well, the question is, how did Jesus respond to this? Look at verses 44 to 46. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. What I love is the heart of Jesus in verse 44. This verse starts off with, then Jesus cried out. The Greek word is krazo, and it's not on the screen. It's a word that means to call aloud, to scream, or to cry out. And it is as if Jesus is crying out, screaming, pleading with them one last time. He has given these religious leaders one more chance. Even though some scholars believe that these verses were John's attempt to summarize the major themes Jesus covered during his public ministry. Or I believe that Jesus was crying out one last time to these religious leaders to give them one last chance to turn their life around. Well, the question I'm going to pose to you today is Jesus crying out to you today? Because this could be your last time for you to get things right with him. Oh, I say this because we don't know around what corner death is. We don't know where it's coming from. And this could be your last chance. And Jesus is crying out through me to you to get your life right with Jesus Christ. Well, he tells us what it means to believe in him in verse 44. To believe in him is to believe in the one who sent him. And to see Jesus is to see God the Father, according to verse 45. See, a lot of people want to know, what's God like? What is God like? All you got to do is look through Jesus Christ. Because to see Jesus is to see God the Father. And then he gives his mission of why he came in verse 46. He says that he came as light in the world. This implies that the world must have been dark. That the world is dark. And Jesus said, I came to be a light in the world. God could have easily said, you guys have sinned. You're out of here. I'm just going to, you guys are done. You're going to go to hell. He could have easily have done that and left us in the darkness. But he sent Jesus to be the light of the world. Many people said, well, you know, you had Confucius and you had all these other gurus that came before Jesus. Obviously, they didn't come with the light. Because when Jesus says, he said, I came to bring light. It implies that the world was dark prior to that. And he came to bring light into this world. And if you believe in him, you will not walk in darkness, but in the light. Notice how Jesus said that he is the only light in this dark world. And if we follow him, who is the light, we would not walk in darkness. Oh, to walk in the light of Jesus is to walk in obedience to the word of God, which is the instrument of light. Oh, I say this because Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. So the word of God is the instrument of light. So to walk in the light means to walk according to the word of God. To show you that this is what Jesus was referring to, look at verses 47 and 48. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Now, in these verses, Jesus shifts his focus from the blessings of believing to the consequences of not believing his word. He said in verse 47, if anyone hears my words and does not believe them, he says, I do not judge them, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And I know some of you are thinking, see, Pastor Tony, I don't believe, and many others don't believe the words. So stop judging us and others for not believing. Whoa, wait a minute. Jesus is referring to his mission of his first coming. He came to save the world in his first coming, but in his second coming, he's coming to judge. On top of that, John, the author of this book, already told us in chapter 3, verse 18, that those who do not believe are condemned already. So no need to place a judgment on those who don't believe because there's one above them already. John told us that in John 3:18. But the real thing is that you will ultimately be judged when you die. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man to die once, and then comes the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and Romans 14:10, it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Or as believers, we will receive rewards or lack of rewards. For unbelievers, you will be judged at the great white throne judgment that Revelation 20 verses 11 through 13 describes. The real question that you have to search your heart today, because all you have is today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not promised. It's, are you ready to stand before God to be judged if you were to die today? If not, then you need to get ready by repenting of your sin and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because Jesus says that there are eternal consequences for hearing his words and not believing them, according to verse 47. Oh, there are many people who believe because they are hearer of the word. And they're not a doer. They think they're okay. The book of James said you're deceiving yourself. Many people deceive themselves, think because they come to some church and hear the word. Okay, I heard it. And they think that they're okay because they came to the church and heard the word. No, it's not the hearer of the word that will be justified, but the doers of the word. The Bible makes very clear. It is the doer, not just hearing the word. It's doing it. And many people think, oh, you know, yeah, I come to church, you know, once in a while, you know, Christmas, Easter, and a funeral, maybe Mother's Day, you know. And they think because they came and heard that they're okay. You're not okay. I'm here to tell you, you're not okay because you're deceiving yourself and thinking because you heard the word that you're okay. You come here and hear it and you leave here and live like you want to live. That you are deceiving yourself. Jesus said that there are consequences to hearing his word and not believing them, according to verse 47. And once again, Jesus is about to show the oneness between him and his Father in verses 49 and 50. Look what it says there. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Now, in these verses, we see that Jesus is saying what I have been teaching didn't originate with me, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak, according to verse 49. And even though Jesus is equal with the Father in essence, but while here on the earth as a man, he took a submissive role. Or we see this in Philippians 2, verse 8. It says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So while Jesus was on the earth, he only spoke the words the Father gave him to speak. Oh, I was thinking about this and I was wondering, what if we were so sensitive to God like Jesus was, that we only spoke the words God gave us to speak? I wonder how quiet some of us will become, or how vocal others will turn out to be. I'm reminded of what God told Balaam in Numbers 22, verse 35. He says, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. Even in trouble, sometimes we can be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit speaking through us. In Mark chapter 13, verse 11, it says, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now, for years, for us in, here in America who've been walking with Jesus Christ for some time, we would read that verse and we would just say, none of that is happening here in America, you know. Oh, we can't say that anymore. Notice, I'm going to read it again. Watch this. Mark 13, 11 says, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're living in times like this. I just read an article, last night, how the state of Kentucky, for those of you who are from Kentucky, I'm going to tell you about your people. The state of Kentucky is trying to pass a law to ban pastors from saying that homosexuality is a sin. That's your folks. Kentucky, wherever you are, that's your people. And let me tell you something. Oh, there are laws that's trying to be passed across the United States. Kentucky is just brave enough to come out and say it right now. Oh, but they're secretly behind the scenes trying to do it now. That there will be a time where they will arrest us and deliver us up. And the Bible says, do not worry what to say, because we can be sensitive enough to the Spirit of God to say the things that God wants us to say in that hour, because it's easy for us to sit here in church and say, well, you know, they did that to me, you know, hey, you know, no matter what, I'm going to hold up the bloodstained banner, you know. Okay, that's easy for you to sit here and say that. But if they call you in at your job and say, I hear that you're a Christian, you believe the Bible, and all of a sudden, I want to see how high that bloodstained banner, because they said, if you believe in this Bible and Jesus Christ, then we're going to fire you on the spot. And I want to see how high you're going to hold up that bloodstained banner. Because it's easier to say it here and say, oh, yeah, I do it, you know. But yeah, but when the rubber meets the road, I want to see how high that bloodstained banner will be raised. So we, like Jesus, can be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit in us that we can speak the words God the Father wants us to speak like Jesus did. Now, some of you may be protesting and saying, well, Pastor Tony, sometimes I just can't help it. I just had to give them a piece of my mind and tell them that I didn't like what they said. And I told them in no uncertain terms. You couldn't help it. No, Pastor Tony, sometimes you just can't help it. Whoa, but wait a minute. You couldn't help it? You had to give them a piece of your mind? First of all, you don't have that much mind to be trying to give people pieces. You're not that brilliant. That's number one. Number two, you couldn't help it? Oh, this shows that maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit is not in you. Because the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:23 is self-control. So if you said, you know, I couldn't help it, and I have no self-control when it comes to my mouth, then maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. Watch this. Oh, I'm going to take it a step further. Watch this. Because the mouth is one of the first places that shows that Christ is in you. You know why? You know why I say that? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if it is true, which it is, that Ephesians 3:17 said that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, then one of the first places that should show that your life is redeemed, your life is changed, is your mouth. Because if Christ is in your heart, I repent of my sin and I accept Christ in my heart. And if Christ is in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The first place that should show that your life has been redeemed by Jesus is your mouth. And if you are cursing, using profanity and gossiping and bad mouthing and talking about folks, and you can't control your mouth, you're not saved. And I'm here to tell you, and I'm not afraid to tell you, you're not saved. You need to truly repent and accept Christ in your heart, because the first place it will show up is here. When I accepted Christ, prior to me accepting Christ, I had the most wicked mouth. I can string some four-letter words together to make a sailor blush. But when Christ came in my life and I repented of my sin, within 1 week, the Lord cleaned up my mouth. Just like that. And if one slipped out, because I was in the Marine Corps and stuff and I was around it all the time, if one slipped out, I was horrified. I can't believe that came out. I can't. Show me a person that claims to have a redeemed life and their speech haven't been redeemed, and I'll show you a liar. Because the place that it will show up will be the mouth. That's one of the first places. And I'm horrified at how many people who claim to be believers, and their mouth is filthy, four-letter words and all kind of foul things coming out. And then they're going to come to church and say, you know, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. Lord, we lift your name on high. Are you kidding me? James said, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. These things are not to be. He said, when you go out to that water fountain in the hallway, is there a button for sweet water and bitter? No, just out of the same comes sweet water. And so this is one of the first places that our lives show that we have been redeemed by Jesus Christ is our mouths. Oh, sure, that doesn't mean we will be perfect all the time with our mouth. No, with our speech. No. However, we should still not be talking the same way that we talked prior to us claiming to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. There should be a difference. There should be a difference. God is speaking to some people about this because your mouth is filthy. It's filthy. And you claim, you know, and see, you know why you're deceived? You're deceived because you might pop in here every now and then and hear the word, and all you are is a hearer of the word. You're not a doer. And it shows through your mouth that you haven't been redeemed. Your life has not been redeemed by the Redeemer. Because the Redeemer doesn't talk like that. He doesn't. Sure, we slip up and we, you know, have moments. Yes. But those are the exception and not the rule. I'm just, hey, God had to tell you that today. Just so we can search our hearts about this whole thing, about what it means to be a true believer. And then Jesus said in verse 50 that the Father gave him a command, and it is everlasting life. And this is what Jesus is trying to give people, is everlasting life. He came to bring this dark world everlasting life. And so the question is, do you have it? You can have it by repenting of your sin and putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who is the one who came to give us everlasting life. So now we will enter into the last hours of the earthly life of Jesus. And in the following chapters, he'll be spending personal time with his disciples, teaching them, giving him his final instructions. No longer is he going to be speaking to the crowd. This is his last time to be with his disciples. It's always amazing to hear what's on the heart of a person who knows they're about to die. And we get a chance to peek in and be a part of the disciples as Jesus is going to be teaching them in chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. He's going to be teaching them some things, and we get a chance to peek in, eavesdrop on what he was teaching his disciples. And we will see that starting next time. Let me conclude with this. I'm going to conclude by asking you a question. Are you a cowardly Christian? Do you love the praise of men more than the praise of God? If so, then it shows that your faith is not genuine. I say this because you cannot even become a Christian without confessing that Jesus is Lord in your life. Oh, Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So see, you cannot even be a Christian without, you know, being willing to confess Jesus is Lord in your life. So the question is, are you a bold Christian or a cowardly one? In our world today, the real bold Christian will stand out and the cowardly one will keep quiet about their faith in Jesus Christ. And the reason why is still the same, because you love the praises of men more than the praise of God. You're trying to impress that boss or that supervisor or that man or that woman. And so to confess Jesus is Lord of your life, you don't want to cause any problems. So you just keep quiet. And all you're doing is showing that you love the praise of men more than the praise of God. More than the praise of God, the one who died on the cross for our sin, the one who gave us life, the one who gave us breath every day to wake up, the one who gave us life, period. And that's the one we're going to kind of, and we claim that get the Lord, he understands. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. You love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And the Lord loves you too much to allow you to stay in that condition. And this is why he is sharing these things with you today, to get things right with him. And you have the choice to get things right with him or to go out, continue to do you. You have the choice. And you have to ask yourself, are you a cowardly Christian today? Or are you standing up and you truly holding up the blood-stained banner? You're really doing that. If you are, you understand the persecution that comes with that. In our country, I never thought I'd see this. But it's here. So now we have to deal with it. We have to ante up and kick in like men. You know, we have to. We are living in these days. May God make us ready for these days ahead of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for sharing these things with us. And God, I just pray that you have mercy upon us. Lord, I pray for those who are here today who have not repented of their sin, accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. Lord, I pray for those who have loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. Lord, I just pray that they will repent of this attitude, repent of this. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with their mouth. Oh God, I just pray. Draw them to you. Let them know that you can clean up any mouth that's submitted and committed to you. Draw people unto you today in Jesus' name. Amen.